Yeah, talking about liquidiv.com, promo code Nooners at checkout. You see us drinking it on the show every single day. Where would we be, Japes, without Liquid IV in our lives?
Dehydrated, we'd have headaches, we'd be tired, yeah. Exhausted.
Yep.
Not be able to get through the day, get through work, we'd be sick all the time.
I'd be hungover. Every single day. Love the Liquid IV. Liquid IV hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients with 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks out there, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick. It's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America. It's just a little tiny stick full of powder. Pop it in 16 ounces of water. You're good to go. What you reckon, Jabes? Double or triple hydrated?
I would say double.
Oh, I'd say triple.
What?
Nay, I'll say triple today. Huge fan of Liquid IV. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. With Liquid IV, get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code Nooners at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Nooners at liquidiv.com. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ross Patterson Revolution! Brought to you by BlackRifleCoffee.com. Welcome to Ross Patterson Revolution. Tonight, I'm going to do a special crossover show from our sister show, Drinkin' Bros. It was one of my favorite interviews I've ever done in podcasting in general. Be it on Ross Patterson Revolution or Drinking Bros. It was with one of my favorite actors. His name is Miles Teller. And I got a chance to sit down with him and director Jason Hall to promote their new film, Thank You for Your Service. And I want to say this originally aired back in maybe November of last year, right around the release of the movie. I want to say maybe a month before Thanksgiving, somewhere in that neighborhood. Which is when studios typically release movies like these for awards considerations. To me, this was one of my favorite films that I had seen last year, and it ended up not doing so well in the box office, and that led to it not being nominated for any awards, which I surely think it deserved to be. However, I would love for people to see this movie. That's why I got into the industry. That's why Jesse got into the industry is sometimes you put your heart and soul into things. They don't do so well, but they just need a little nudge or a little reminder to get back out into the lexicon. And then hopefully people will get a chance to see them and enjoy them as much as I did. I'm going to do that tonight by replaying this episode. When we interviewed Miles Teller and Jason Hall for Thank You for Your Service, because it's now available on Amazon, iTunes, and DVD as well. And I definitely think you should give this one a shot. So with that, we have some sponsors who pay for this, and then we're going to dive right into the interview. First and foremost, you hear him at the top of the show talking about BlackRifleCoffee.com. Black Rifle Coffee is not only my favorite coffee that I've ever had in my entire life, and that's no bullshit. But it's a veteran-owned company, staying in the veteran theme tonight with Thank You for Your Service. And it's owned by Evan Hafer, Jared Taylor, and Mr. Matt Best. I drink their Just Black, and they're caffeinated as fuck. I am a member probably for about a year and a half of their Coffee of the Month Club. It gets dropped off at my house on the same date every single month. And it saves me a world of time from going to Costco and buying boxes of shitty coffee that I never liked anyways. And this one's $4 cheaper. Go to BlackRifleCoffee.com. Type in the promo code REVOLUTION for a one-time use. And join the coffee club. Also, their apparel is second to none. I use it all the time. And although I don't talk about their coffee cups as much, they're amazing too. Check out their tin cups in particular. Those are some of my faves. As well as their handcrafted ones. Next up, we've got StrikeForceEnergy.com. Strikeforce Energy is the premier energy drink in the biz. Big fan of Strikeforce Energy. It comes in four amazing flavors: original, lemon, grape, and orange. You can make America grape again by buying their 750 milliliter bottle also, and putting that in your bar top or countertop, and just boom, boom, popping a couple of squirts in and going on about your motherfucking day. What it is essentially is a tasty, tiny little tin pouch full of energy. You rip it open, you can squeeze it into any liquid available, and you can kick the can. You don't need the can anymore. You can get rid of Red Bull, Kickstart, Monster, all that bullshit, and just squeeze this into your drink. And it lasts longer than 5 hour energy. I use it in the afternoon when I'm crashing or for like a pre-workout. I'm a big fan of StrikeForceEnergy.com. Type in the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off. That's good always. So you can always use the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off all the time. And that'll work for you every single time. And they ship everywhere in the entire world. So go check out StrikeForceEnergy.com. Use the promo code REVOLUTION, 20% off. Next up, we've got StraightRazors.com. Straight Razors, man, that's my day one homie. They've been with us for a long fucking time. They've got amazing shaving products for men. And if you're looking to get a special gift for a dad or a bro or somebody you haven't talked to in a while, this is the gift to get them. It kind of looks like an old school, like Tombstone movie-ish set of shaving equipment, if you will. It's got everything for the real man. So they got mustache waxes, beard oils. They've got shampoo and conditioners. Their Smolder Aftershave is some of the finest in the biz. I'm a big fan. I use that shit every day. And their straight razors are second to none. If you're nervous about using a straight razor for the first time, they've got safety razors you can try out. But give them a shot and give this gift to somebody. Go to straightrazors.com. Type in the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off. That's a big deal there. When you go to straightrazors.com and type in that promo code of REVOLUTION for 20% off, that really saves you a lot of money on their shit, because their products are like supremely amazing. So that's kind of a big deal. Last but not least, we got the Kayu app. It's Kayu. Again, keeping in the veteran theme here. Kayu is that was started by two Green Berets out of Fort Bragg. Now they're in the tech biz. You don't have to be a fucking member of Pied Piper for shit like that. You know, a lot of people can try their hand at it. But go download the Kayu app. It's free. That's Kayu. It's available on iTunes, Android phones, maybe burner phones. Who knows? It's free. You'd be supporting the guys, and it's a new way to look at social media and look at traveling and just meeting new people. With Facebook taking a fucking swan dive these days, go to the Kayu app and check it out. You can breeze through people like Tinder. Swipe left or right. And you can see how they like to hang with. Also, if you're looking to split vacation costs or go partying with somebody, or maybe you want to go to a concert or an event and you don't have somebody else to go with, it's a great place to meet people and hang out and see if you have the same interest, maybe even have sex. Who knows? Who knows? But check out the Kayu app. That's Kayu, and it's free. No strings attached. And without a further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Jared Taylor and I welcome in Miles Teller and Jason Hall. Welcome to Drinking Bros. We have two special guests here. It's Jared Taylor and Ross Patterson, and then there's two other guys. We got Miles Teller, and we got Jason Hall.
How you doing?
Thank you for your service, which is going to be arguably the biggest military movie of the year, I would say. Are we going there yet?
I guess so. I don't know. What else? What you guys else was tracking the military numbers? Movie this year?
Yeah, I don't think there's.
You had a lot of them. You had The Girl and the Dog.
The Girl and the Dog.
Remember The Girl and the Dog?
Megan Levy.
There you go.
Megan Levy.
You had The Girl and the Dog.
Yeah.
That's how we separate military movies, by the way. We go by that because sometimes they're not well done. They're kind of cheesy, and you're looking at them and you're like, man, this could be Lifetime. It could be a real shit. You guys did the real shit.
We like, tried.
We got the screener
today.
Well, tonight,
I will tell you both right here. I saw the trailer and said, fuck. Yeah.
You and everybody else that served.
Danny, that had nothing to do with the trailer, man.
I got hit up by somebody that I just respect the world from that said, hey, you need to get in touch with this guy. I got to see the screener. This movie's going to fucking blow you away. I said, that was my response. You're kidding. He's like, no, I'm going to put you in touch with him. And then Jason and I hooked up and I saw it and I went, oh, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, they actually did a great job with the military's not going to hate you guys. Like, because there's a lot of military films that people
this
absolutely
is the most critical
hate.
Genre that you could ever get in.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of my buddies are military, and you know, I still have the same Facebook account I've had since, you know, I was in I guess back then it was you could get Facebook when you're in college, but you know, they just roast everything, you know. And it's, yeah, you're damn right. I mean, the sacrifice that, you know, those guys had to do to wear that uniform, there's a lot of pride there, and you know, and I think we went into it wanting that responsibility, you know, because we knew it was going to be heavily, heavily criticized. And I think it just starts from respect, right?
And it is a stigma that everybody has got wrong in the past every time they tried.
What do they get wrong?
Well, my biggest thing is we have labeled PTSD as someone that can't pull themselves away from the war. And that's not what the reality of PTSD is. It is not some guy in the front yard digging a hole with his pistol and, oh my God, he's got PTSD. That's not it. It's basic, you know, coming back to live. I was texting him while I was watching it going, wait, did you like embed yourself with a guy for like 2 years? Is that what I said?
Yeah, like,
wait, did you embed yourself with a specialist in first ID for 2 ID?
Who did you sleep with?
2 years?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, luckily David Finkel did that for us, so we didn't have to be the guy. David Finkel wrote the book. He went over there with the 216 and then followed them for 10 months in country, then came back, followed them for another 10 here. It was
because the creepiest part about this movie is every phase of it I've been through. So the biggest hitter, and I think I texted him right away, was the first day you're back with your wife in the movie, and she's kind of snapping at you. It's like, oh, fuck. That brought me straight back 2005, Christmas. Like, I just got home. Yes, I left when my kid was like 3-4 weeks old. I don't know her now. Like,
yeah,
when
not
she,
seen a wedding
when,
ring.
When the wife snaps at you like she doesn't like chocolate chips.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, how the fuck am I supposed to know? I don't know what she likes and doesn't like. And that was like the first like, ooh, let me get another drink. Because by the time I was at the end of the movie, I was shithoused. Like, I just kept drinking. Like,
you did. throughout watching our movie?
Yes.
Yeah. That's how real it was. Yeah, where it's hey, you guys did a fantastic job. Because, you know, you see a title like Thank You for Your Service, which is, you know, to the military, it's a term that you hate to hear.
Yeah. Well, you don't. Right. It's one of those you don't know what to say to that.
No, and it's ironic. You know, it's ironic in the book. And I think here it's just like, what the fuck are we saying to these guys? Like, what, you know, Adam says anytime someone thanks me, I'm like, what part are you thanking me for, man? Like the part where I put my guys up on the roof and one of them got shot. Like, what are we?
Yeah. Could you specifically point
that
out
part
a time
where
I
dropped
was
my friend? Yeah. That's what you're thinking.
It's just
for.
Weird to thank somebody for something. Exactly. Like, you have no idea what they did. You know, it's not like, oh, man, you put my fence up. Like, you know, thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. I just think it's, people say they don't know what's. They just don't know what to say, and it's their way of just kind of, I guess, acknowledging,
making them feel better. Their way of showing that they appreciate the military, and that's nice. But again, it's like one of those things that it does make you feel uncomfortable, and you don't know
But that's not important, bro. It makes the person who said it feel really good about themselves.
I know.
Because
that's what it is.
I always just say, and I've always done this as a habit, I go, no, thank you. Like, because I don't know what to do.
Right.
Yeah.
But this movie, you cover the three major kind of like you can define PTSD in so many different things, and you cover, I think, the three most widely things that happen to people. You have the guy coming home to his family.
That's how real this movie is. Yeah. There's a goddamn plane ahead of us now. We could be in
live production value, man.
We could be in Mogadishu.
We're live from Mogadishu.
So you come home to a guy that's still in a relationship and the struggle that he goes through, kind of getting back. You cover the guy that comes home to a relationship that's now gone that he wasn't privy to. And that, God, I've seen that 1,000 times. And then you cover the guy that just doesn't know what to do with himself, and he's getting himself in some weird fucking situations because he can't figure it. And God damn it, I've seen this so many times.
No, that was the point, to try and tell like everybody's story, to try and find a way to be very specific with these guys, but also kind of encompass every veteran coming home.
And this is your first, this is your directorial debut, right?
It is.
And how nerve-wracking is that?
You know, I mean, you write stuff and then someone else goes and directs it and fucks it up. So it's better if you got the opportunity to fuck it up yourself.
Do you get full, like, final cut and post or not?
Yeah.
Or does the studio come in and
I
say,
I mean, the
hey.
Studio, if they have real notes, they'll come in and they'll argue it. And you know, in this case, the studio is Spielberg. So it's pretty much just him. And if he has a note, he'll talk to you about it. He'll recommend something. And he's not, I didn't find him to be, he didn't step on it.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, I just watched his documentary. I'm a huge fan of the documentary they did. He seems like just a genuine, good,
like,
you know,
he's always trying to make the best films.
Yeah.
And that's, it's not about ego to him. He doesn't care.
No, I think he's really, yeah. It's not.
There's a lot of people that want to dabble in and just put their hands in the movie.
Just to say that they did something.
Yeah. Right. No, that's not him.
They're with a girl on a Friday night at Arclight, and they're like, oh, yeah, see that scene? I fucking cut that scene. There was like 5 minutes too long.
That was my note, yeah.
That was my note. I did that. And it's like, oh, no one would ever know that.
No, he didn't do any of that. He was, he put this book in front of me when I was working on Sniper with him. He was going to direct Sniper for a period of time. And we were working together on that, and he brought a book in. He was like, hey, I want to do this too. I want to do something for our veterans. It's literally what he said. I want to do something for our veterans. I'm going to direct this too.
And you adapted that, right?
I adapted it for him to direct it, and Daniel Day-Lewis was going to play the doctor. So it was going to be a movie about the doctor that Adam eventually finds this doctor out at a treatment center. And,
really?
And Daniel Day-Lewis was going to be the doctor, so suddenly it was a movie about the doctor.
Well, here's the weird thing about Daniel Day-Lewis.
Was he going to play Fred?
He's going to play Fred.
Pathway Home guy?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Now, Fred is, for everyone who doesn't know, Fred is now a guy on a phone. You hear his voice on a phone, and he's not in the movie.
But there's also the possibility that Daniel Day-Lewis is still preparing for this role.
He is.
And he's going to do it in 20 years. He's still doing research.
So
he's going to come back. DDL's going to come back. And then...
Just because we already shot this part doesn't mean he's not ready.
No, he's still doing that film.
No.
So I would check up on him, you know, send him a fax.
I heard a story about Daniel Day-Lewis during There Will Be Blood, where he drove a car from that period of time, and he would only drive his car as fast as cars could go in that period of time. Like, so he's going down the freeway at 35 miles an hour, and the transpo van passes him with all the crew and everybody in, and they're trucking at 65, and he's like driving at 30, and he's like, oh,
angry. Yeah.
So he comes back to the hotel and he starts pounding on their door, and you know, he grabs the transpo guy. He's like, what the fuck are you doing driving off? Fuck it, we don't go that fast. It's 19, whatever.
Like, still standing character.
Yeah.
The picture of him eating pancakes as Lincoln at that diner in that small town that they were shooting in.
I haven't seen it.
For the movie Lincoln.
Yeah.
He's in full character eating pancakes, but only food at the breakfast that would have been served in the 1860s.
Sure. Yeah.
So it was these buttermilk pancakes, bone dry.
Right.
Bone dry. You know, just nothing. Eating by himself. And somebody's got a picture of him as Lincoln in this diner with families around. So it looks like he's at a Cracker Barrel.
Right.
But he's eating as Abraham Lincoln. And all these families are like,
I guess
they got used to it in town, and they were like, oh,
there's Lincoln.
There's the honest one again.
Hey.
You know? You know, he's not gonna dine and ditch.
Yeah.
But I listened
to another podcast where you guys were questioning Lincoln's sexuality on that one.
We question a lot of sexuality.
We question everybody's sexuality.
It's
2017. You're allowed to do whatever you want.
We're all going to be genderless in about 10 years.
It's gender fluid, man.
Evan, Evan says, my sexuality is a sphere.
So how did you get involved?
My boy worked, just real quick, because, you know, it's like, give a chick like a 0 to 10 or whatever. My boy's just, he's like, it's binary, man. It's just
ones and zeros.
Yeah, 1-0. That's it. You either would or you wouldn't.
Yes or no.
Yeah. That's it.
And most likely it's yes.
Oh, yeah. For him, for sure.
How did you get involved in this movie?
I was sent the script and...
First choice, yes or no?
was I Jason's first choice?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah.
I guess one's Daniel Day-Lewis.
You asking me if I'm your first choice?
Backed out. No, I mean, yeah, I got to, that's kind of how it's been going for me. I mean, I will audition. I haven't auditioned for, you know, a couple years, but mm-hmm. yeah, I got the script, and then I think in the note or something said Jason Hall's directing, and, you know, he wants you to play Adam, and I read it, and I was like, fuck no, I can't do this. This is going to be, like, really, really hard. And
hard.
Yeah,
and it's
really yeah. hard, like, and I kind of had that, you know, I just had that kind of ignorant, you know, I think even just the log line, you know, soldiers come back, you know, with post-traumatic stress, you know, struggling to kind of reintegrate back into society. I was like, I have to act PTSD? Like, fuck, man, that's such a vulnerable place to be in. And then you start to unpack it a little bit. And, you know, for me, I just really felt for Adam, you know, I know, you know, how many guys he represented and the sacrifice. And, you know, this is the war that does define my generation. You know, been in for fucking 16 years and I don't know, but also I respect the military so much. I felt like even as an actor, like, you know, all we do is pretend, right? We're pretending for a living.
Yeah.
Something just felt like unethical for me to pretend like I was this fucking staff sergeant.
Yeah, but even though, and I was gonna, I'd been thinking about this for a couple days because I remember my first one. Even though this was a scene, going through roll call fucked you up.
Dude, yes, yeah.
ceremony is the hardest fucking thing to get through. And it's like, I remember
just the
my first
and
one.
The gun,
like,
and the fucking yeah. helmet, man. And then you, like, just call his name and you know he's not in.
Yes.
It's such a fucked up, such a fucked up.
Like, I know.
You know he's not there, man.
If you told me I had to act in a roll call, I'd be a fucking mess. Yeah. Even acting in it. Like, oh, no, I can't do it.
Well, our military advisor was the guy who was, I don't know the name of the guy who is running kind of the ceremony.
He's calling roll. Yeah.
Yeah, he's calling roll call. And, you know, he was, yeah. He was a mess, but also that's just because he was out of shape and it was outside, so it just fucking
and that's,
his
I
ass
sent him
off.
That message too. I go, you're the only movie I think to have a real roll call ceremony done right ever. Like,
that's cool.
And that's one of those things though that you can't explain to somebody.
Yeah.
Like, because when you're over there and you go out and somebody goes down, it's like everybody hears about it on the radio, we see the medevac come in, you know, or we see him cast out. And then they come back and give the news, he didn't make it. And then 12 hours later, you're in the ceremony. Like, it's happening like that. Yeah. Like, or 6 hours or 4 hours. Like, sometimes it's right away.
Fast.
Yeah. Or one day. Like, I believe, like, one of my first ones, it was like 6 hours later. Like, hey, everybody get upstairs. We're doing the ceremony. Like, what? We just got back.
Well, no, and the crazy thing is I had pictures from the ceremony, like a bunch of pictures from the ceremony and like from other ceremonies that took place, you know, at WrestleMania. And it was just so well, everything was so well documented that it made it easier to, like, duplicate moments like that. But fuck,
and it's just eerie, right? Because just a couple days before, you know, you could be like the guy, you know, maybe he ends up dying a couple days later, but he could be there, and, you know, and he says his name, and then, you know, you wait for the guy, and then a couple days later, that guy's name, who was just sounding off, you know, you know,
now his name is gone.
Now his name's empty. And, like,
no, and I can imagine how frustrating that is if you see it and it's wrong.
Because when that one started, they come down
harder than anyone.
I was
if it's
like,
wrong.
As soon as that scene started, I was like, ooh.
You thought I was going to go sideways.
Yeah.
Right.
But then it was beautiful. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. No, I really was hammered by the credit rolls. I had the bottle next to me at that point, and like, and a thing of ice on the floor. I wasn't even moving.
Diaper.
And also, I guess what I was talking to Adam about, and he was saying it's just, you know, because also it's just, you know, it's fucked up. Like, you don't even get that moment to grieve, right? He said, you know, after the roll call, he's like, dudes are literally just sobbing as they're fucking loading up their guns and going back out. You just never get that opportunity to talk about it as like a group, you know. And I think that's it all kind of, like, builds into that fucking mindset that you guys are in for months and months.
Thinking about it too, though, this got me thinking about just that for a long time. And it was like, maybe it was the way that we kind of see that tradition. I mean, if we had flipped that tradition to where it wasn't like a sobering but a celebratory, like, the warrior went out the fucking warrior's way, and we're going to hold our fucking knives, our swords, our guns up, and we're going to salute him, and then we're going to get our asses back out there. Like, yeah, I mean, that could have been us. Like, we kind of took that path.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, in history, certain cultures celebrate that.
Yeah.
They hold the body up front with his weapon and say that motherfucker went out.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the warrior's not supposed to return. Yeah.
No.
The warrior's supposed to go out on the battlefield.
Carried by six and judged by 12 is what Adam always said.
Wow.
Yeah. Did you guys meet prior to filming at all? Were you guys friends before
we,
this?
Who, you and him and Adam or him and me?
You and him.
I've watched his work. This guy's a stud. You know,
I love War Dogs. I love it because it two aspects, the comedy in the situation, because I know what was going on around that time. Uh-huh. And a lot of our friends that work with us were involved in a lot of these certain things. Uh-huh. But also too, like,
you guys have Irish passports. Uh-huh. Is that what you're saying?
Well, the business side where right. he gets to this point in business where his partner, you know, we've faced that in business in the last 5-6 years where you're just, you're like, oh God. You know,
yeah.
What are you doing? What are you trying to fuck me on right now?
Right,
what are you?
Yeah, yeah.
What? Yeah, you this had, is not the direction we yeah. talked about in the beginning. You know, things yeah. like that.
You fuck my wife.
Yeah, you've had a steady stream of bangers from War Dogs to Bleed for This, which I thought you should have been nominated for. To be honest with you,
appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, there's that. There's that moment, and you're like, yeah, I did too.
Yeah.
It's got, how frustrating is that?
Yeah, killing but this yourself, one, this one.
Killing yourself, this one. This one you got a real good shot.
Yeah.
But it's all going to depend on box office and the other shit.
It's like, one of those things, like, I remember talking to Kate Winslet about it, and she was like, just to name drop that real quick. No, yeah, but yeah. I worked with her on Divergent, drop that name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, but we, you know, I was talking about it, and she was like, look, Miles, it's bullshit, because you gotta do a lot. I mean, Jay's been nominated. You really got a glad hand. You gotta do the thing, and you gotta show up, and you gotta shake all the hands and stuff. But she was saying, like, you know, yeah, it's bullshit, but at the end of the day, when they call your name and you go on stage and you're holding that Oscar, you know, it's everything that you thought it would be and more. And for me, I kind of go, I don't know, I feel like, you know, I've at this point, I think I've done like 16 or 17 films. Every film they told me that was gonna, oh, this is gonna crush and kill, like, you know, even something like War Dogs, man. Like, to me, I was like, oh, Todd Phillips and Jonah Hill and this type of material and Gunrunners, like, that's gonna fucking crush it. No.
I loved it.
It takes,
I know, we all loved it, but like, take Bleed for This. You're working your ass off. You're boxing, you're training, and then all of a sudden it comes out, numbers are a little disappointing, and you're like,
that's an understatement. Yeah, I mean, boxing fatigue, whatever. And then, you know, you watch the trailer and you're like, that's not our fucking movie, man. It's not this like high caliber, you know, energy boxing film, man. It's more, I guess, in the vein of The Fighter. But honestly, for me, how it happens is like, you do and go in that moment of like, oh, I should have gotten this or whatever. Yeah. Like, motherfucker, you get frustrated. And then, dude, that is gone almost instantly. And you're like, all right, I'm, you know, fucking, that's, you know, it's all motivation, on to the next one. And, you know, it's all good, man.
When you get there, man, it's like everyone sees the Oscars as this like thing, and it's a fucking game show.
It is.
It's a TV show when you're there.
No, the payoff is the nice part about it is the payoff is that the people that, like, look, we made a movie about real people. This is about real people that are still, most of them are walking around, and then you know, we've lost a couple of them. And it's about real people, and so you want it for them and for their story,
right?
Because they can identify with that, and they're out in the, you know, they're out slugging it through their lives, and like, they, that means something to them. But when you show up, it's a club.
It's the Inside Guys Club.
It's the fucking Price is Right, but without Vanna White.
Why not?
Yeah,
having
standing reservations at Mastro's like 8 o'clock on a Friday, where it's very cool.
Dennis Quaid said being famous is good for two things: tea times and dinner reservations.
Yep.
And yeah.
No, having fans that continue to like your shit, and then having a good record of just awesome movies, that's way cooler.
No, now that other shit's out of your hands, like what I have realized, like the one thing that I can absolutely fucking control is the experience, right? So like, experience making this or experience Bleed for This, and all the other shit, like, whether it, like, right now I have a movie that's opening up this weekend, Only the Brave, and it's like, this is my least favorite time. I have such a tight asshole. By Friday morning, I, like, you know what it's going to make for the weekend. And then, yeah, it's one of these things you are so proud of, and you, like, it is a fucking great film, and it's not a superhero film, and it's not a horror film, and it's like about real fucking guys and first responders, and you get like, you just can't, you
see,
never
the tracking
understand
numbers, and you're
like,
what the fuck,
dude? That, you know, by Friday morning about like what your film's,
1 o'clock on deadline.
You know what the fuck you're doing, and then you're and then it's like, boom, here's a black eye for your career. Here's a scarlet letter. This fucking film, you ended up being a part of one of the biggest bombs. Like, yeah. You're like, oh, good thing I, you know, whatever. I'm filming two other ones. Just got to keep moving, man.
Yeah.
No, but it's like, that's why we made this for the people that it's about. Like, we made this for Adam Schumann and for Tosolo Aedi and Amanda.
You can see it in the movie, and I'll say it right.
We made it for you, man.
Yeah. Thank you.
Because you matter.
You really do.
You fucking been told mean that something. Entire life. Look me in the eyes, man. You mean something.
Yeah. Oh, no. Is this real?
You're worth it. You're worth it.
I don't even tell him that. He's blushing a little bit.
To everybody out there, this movie is going to blow you away. Like, it's going to blow you. Bring a drink.
Like I said, you've been dropping bangers. No. You're one of those guys who has consistently gotten better every single fucking movie. Not that you were shitty to start with. You've always been great, but it's like you keep pressing yourself.
Like Blink-182.
Nobody else is really doing that right now. Yeah. Not a lot of guys. I mean, obviously, Daniel Day-Lewis, that next movie in 15 years is going to be amazing.
Yeah. He's prepping right now. Yeah. He retired just to prep for it.
But
the release of this movie, though, is going to ruin our week. Like, it's going to flood our weekend, not ruin.
Oh, yeah,
because
yeah.
We've got, you know, Vigilant Guard and stuff like that. Like, this is going to set a lot of people.
Yeah, everybody will be going to see this movie.
You think it'll trigger people? Is that what you're saying?
I think it will open up a lot of wounds that people were hiding.
Right.
Because they're going to see it right in their face now.
Right.
And it's gonna help a lot.
Yeah.
Because now they're going to go, oh, these do exist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been running away from him.
Well, no, we watch it start conversations where you're like, holy shit. You know, between a man and a wife who's like, yeah, he's been home 6 years, hasn't, you know, he's doing good, squared away, like, got it together. Brings her to the movie. She's like, holy shit, do you have stories like that? And he's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was, you know, hiding the story from your wife in the movie. Like, oh, were you there when he died? Nope. I mean, that's
a real thing you do.
Yeah. No, it wasn't. I'm just trying to watch this race.
And eat this fucking bucket of chicken that we have.
Give it the fuck away. You know? Yeah. So asking me about this weird shit.
I kind of hate you right now. God damn it.
And I will take that blowjob. Yeah.
Fuck.
Oh, God.
I wonder if you got any better at sucking dick since I've been gone. No.
Yeah. Hey, why are you better?
Why are you better?
Wow, you're amazing.
Because that's a new technique. You never would go that horrible. Far down the shaft.
Yeah. Why are you better?
Sweetheart, I was gone for 15 months. That pregnancy is only 3 months in.
Yeah.
We had this girl
yours.
Come in
it's
and
yours.
Audition.
Anyway, what's on
this
Netflix?
This girl came in audition for one of the, for the wife of the of Will, who comes home and she's gone.
Yeah.
And she was like, had lived that life. And she was like, oh, do you know about the like post-its on the back of the headboard? Have you heard of this?
Yeah.
Where guys will do it just to let them know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Under the toilet.
Yeah. Right, to let them know that they were fucking the guy's wife.
Yeah.
There's a whole website for these military wives where they can just looking for somebody to fuck while their guy's deployed.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Fuck.
Well, there's, you know, the nickname, right? We call that Jody.
Jody.
Jody, right. Yeah. So
that's old.
Jody was here.
Old school, yeah.
And it hasn't changed.
But I was so confounded by the post-it. I was like, really, do they have post-its around? Do they bring, who brings the post-its? Do you find the post-it or you bring the post-its? Like, do you got post-its sitting
around? I don't know. I'd say 85% of households
don't act like
have
you
post-its.
Don't know, bro.
I'm not a Jody.
It's like, maybe you're not going to find a pair of scissors
or a stapler,
but like
you can find a post-it.
I know where our head goes. I'm not going to fuck with another one of us. Like, because I don't want some dude hunting me, even though I can hold my own if we're in that. But
no, that's
I don't want to know
actively seeking it either.
Yeah, yeah. You do that shit, you don't know where he's gonna go.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I want to kill this motherfucker.
I was just trying to figure out the psychology of the psychology is like I found out for you that she's weak. Is that what it is?
Like,
she's
what are you supposed to like bank that dude? No, you're me.
Yeah.
You
should thank me for fucking her.
And she's weak.
Yeah,
get her out. She's weak.
Because otherwise it's two sides. I'm going to fuck your wife, but I'm going to tell you about it. Because it's either like punishing or it's like, I did this for you. I cracked her.
Yeah.
Jesus.
In my eyes, it's always you've done it for somebody else, you know? You've done it for your buddy.
Yeah.
You've always done it for them.
You've always just done it for them.
Let me ask you this. After doing a couple military movies back to back, you want to do like a light comedy, like a romantic comedy or anything?
I just want to get out of Iraq. If I could just get out of, I'd be happy. Like, I'll do a fucking brutal movie.
Would you guys film Morocco?
But just get me out of Iraq.
Yeah, Morocco.
Yeah.
We shot in Rabat.
That's still a pain in the ass.
That's what Black Hawk Down.
Because I'd film War Dogs, we'd film something there. there, and I would just keep one. After I did it the first time, I said, I'm keeping one set of clothes in my bag. I'm not going to fucking open it. It's going to be Ziplocs. Just when I fly back, like, they didn't smell like shit. Because the smell is it's fucking nauseating, man. Yes. I can't.
How long was the shoot? It's not
probably nearly as bad as it is.
Same.
It was 42 days. It's all that same kind of shit. 42
days. That's fast.
42 days. There's like, 6 days in Rabat? 7 days?
Yeah, something like that.
But you know, desperately wanted to go to Jordan because, you know, Morocco
Jordan
doesn't look
crazy.
Like, but Jordan's not crazy.
Well, I just mean, like, in essence, like, just going through the city.
But like, it's so much safer than Morocco. Morocco, yeah. Like, everyone thinks Morocco is safe. Morocco's like the home of all terror cells. Like, they all start in Morocco.
Yeah. There's a lot. Well, yeah. Look, if you've been to Morocco, obviously, that's pretty much what you want to do is start a terror cell. Like, it's either that or actually live in Morocco. You're like, fuck, I got to get to the 72 as fast as I can up there. How
it's
do
also,
I do
it's
that?
It's Africa. It's red. It doesn't look like, yeah. You know, it doesn't look like the Middle East as much. But yeah, we're right after the Paris terror attack. So they were like, no, you guys aren't leaving Atlanta. You're shooting Iraq in Atlanta.
Well, yeah, you're not doing that.
Yeah.
Atlanta's a tad nicer.
Tad nicer than Iraq, yeah.
I grew up there.
I mean, you could do it in El Paso if you had to.
Right.
There's a lot of good villages out in El Paso. That,
you could Greek it a few places.
But you just don't get the architecture.
Not,
you don't get the city. You don't get any of that, like the street work.
Yeah, and you guys had all that, which was nice. It wasn't a backlot on fucking WB.
No.
So, Miles, where did you start out? Where are you from originally?
I'm kind of like an East Coast mutt. I was born outside of Philly, and then I lived in Georgia, Delaware, South Jersey. It was like the first time I had at that age where you could, like, you had your friend's number, you could call him, say, hey, let's ride bikes. You know, let's play Pogs or some shit.
Yeah. Fucking Pogs,
dog. Fucking Pogs, dude.
Those were the best.
I remember I'll play for keeps. Like, legitimately, dude. Buddy wouldn't talk to me for a
Stussy
week.
Stussy Slammers
I took his fucking Slammers, yeah. It's like, stop being a bitch, dude.
What about college?
And then Florida. And then I grew up in a small country town in Florida.
Where?
Like an hour north of Tampa, near Ocala. Okay.
Yeah. Citrus County. I lived in Fort Walton for 4 years. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
how old are you?
30.
Nice.
Yeah.
Congratulations, you made it.
Thanks, man.
Did you go to college for acting?
I went to NYU. Yeah, I did the theater program up there.
Stone Street?
I did do Stone Street. I mean, I started out in Strasbourg and then I did Stone Street. Yeah. How do you know Stone Street?
Yeah, because I was in it as well.
Oh, shit.
Fun fact. First few movies out of there, they put you on the website.
I know,
Went back a couple years later and I was like, man, I just want to see my picture on the website. It was replaced. You know who was replaced by?
What?
Miles Teller.
Oh, fuck.
I'm serious. And I was like,
What
sweet,
years
man.
Were you?
So I started doing indies. And now you replace me shit now? You were up there.
What years? Sorry about that. What years were you in?
Oh, boy. And we're gonna be dating
didn't
this
leave
one
a
now.
Post-it.
99. 99 was that.
Cool.
I don't know if you had the same teachers, like Gary.
Gary, yeah. Gary director. And Alyssa started it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hardcore Gary.
I'm going, every time I go up to New York, man, I make sure that I carve out a little time to go there
talk
to the kids.
Yeah.
I'm
still waiting to be invited back to my high school. They still know. They
you were a champion for the last premiere. You went back to your hometown.
Did you walk away with a diploma? No? Yeah.
Kind of. From the state.
GED?
No.
University of Phoenix Online?
State diploma.
University of Phoenix Online.
Look, if you went to University of Phoenix, you went to University of Phoenix.
I didn't go to University of Phoenix.
Did you get a soldering iron degree? If you did, it's cool. There's some electronics that are fucked up back at the Airbnb. Like, you can solder.
I did.
All night.
When we premiered our movie, everybody from my graduating class pretty much bought out that theater.
Yes. And Jared went home. He was a hometown hero. Awesome. You were a high school king. And there was a line of girls just jergensed up.
You know,
ready
32
for...
years old now, you know, a little midweight. You know?
You were grown. You were grown. Was Miss Shu there? I'm going
to remind you who they were.
No, she wasn't there.
No.
Andrew Shue's ex-wife is one of our teachers.
Uh-huh.
So ridiculous.
Did they make you
hot.
Do like a soap opera class?
Oh yeah.
I took a sitcom class with this woman who taught it. She had like a couple guest spots on like Seinfeld, Mad About You, and all these fucking like she was our teacher. And I remember her just like telling me how to like what comedy was, how to do it, and then we practiced spit takes literally for like fucking 2 hours. And it was all about like the amount of liquid you had in your mouth, like what kind of spray was the most, what kind of spray was like fucking hilarious.
Oh, and
my
our parents. Well, let's see grand it, bro. A semester for
yeah. A spit take? Is that real?
A spit take?
I'm all out of I'm out of practice, man. I don't even have any. I don't even have
it's
any,
an audio
I don't
show.
Have any water.
Nobody would be able to see it.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
You it would only be just for our sick pleasure of like, yeah. yeah, but I will say this. Stone Street, it was a nice, like at least Gary. Gary in particular got you prepared for like, all right, shit, we got sides. We had to audition. You know, you had that once a week. And that was a nice little mixer for it.
They had all these cats fucking running around. Yeah. I'm like, nobody needs like cats in their life.
No,
like,
no, never.
It's just too much.
Never. And then what? You come out to LA afterwards or did you stay in New York?
I booked.
They're going down.
Have
the
you ever seen a hairless bear?
No.
Dude, Google it.
The black, it's got black
it
skin,
looks like
doesn't
people,
it?
I think it's people think it's the chupacabra when they see it. It's terrifying. But
that hairless bear there?
Yeah. Was there one
no,
inside?
No, we're talking about cats, so I was like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You wanna, obvious segue. Hairless. It's in the hairless bears. But, you ever seen a gay guy who's a bear? Same sort of deal. This just one's a marsupial.
Little Tanner. Little Tanner.
They both walk on all fours.
All fours. And, yeah.
But, yeah, no, so then I was in college, and I think I just started going out on auditioning, on auditions, and, yeah, I just got an audition for this movie, Rabbit Hole, that ended up... that I ended up booking, like 2 weeks before I graduated college, and that was kind of it, man. Did that.
Did everybody else know in college that you booked the movie?
I remember, like, showing up to class, the next day, and people are, you know, look, everyone's coming away with a Bachelor of Fine Arts, so this, like, whole, it's like, we got to do, like, everyone was, like, seaweed, you know, and, like, they're playing music, and theater's all fun and shit, but now it's like, now you gotta try and, you know, scratch together a career, and, yeah, I don't know. I do remember just kind of being like, you know, I booked a movie. Oh, it's great. You know what? And I was like, oh, you know, Nicole Kidman and Diane Weiss and Aaron Eckhart and shit. And yeah, Nicole got nominated for an Oscar for it. And, you know, definitely was a nice
incredible.
Way to start.
He's a heavy hitter. And fucking holds his own, walks out of fucking whatever acting class.
What, is he
cats.
Old now? Like, is he old now?
No, like, but I mean, he was like a baby. He was like fucking 18 years old. Like, what?
23.
21 or 22.
I went back a few years ago to say hello to everybody, and they said you were one of the best back then. No lie.
And
they were like, dude, this guy's fucking great. And then the first movie I saw you in was Project X.
He loves Project X.
Dude, I have some boys who were deployed
watch Project X.
We're all fucking pumped up, and then we're on a rooftop, and then action started happening, and my buddy was like, dude, literally Project X like fucking fueled that whole night. We were just fucking pumped on that roof because we just finished your movie and then just started, you know, mowing down some dudes.
The reason I loved it was they don't make movies like that anymore. Fun fucking party movies anymore. Yeah. Where now it's like you've got to have some disease like The Big Sick or something. There's got to be a heart to it. And it's like, I'm tired of seeing
comedies
with a heart.
They always try and tie in a bullshit like heart storyline. Like, just go like, for the...
Yeah. But you were playing Miles Teller.
Yeah, they said, can we use your real name? And I said, yeah.
But you're a volleyball player, right? Like
what?
A USC
volleyball
player?
Baseball player.
Yeah. Volleyball player.
I was feeling volleyball.
What dude plays volleyball?
I felt a volleyball
Become a fan,
vibe.
Bro.
Get out of here.
Become a fan.
I thought that's why I hired you, because I thought you were a volleyball player.
No, but that movie, I mean, that was all night shoots, and they would film, you know, these, like, the young kids in the movie. It's like 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. every night for weeks. And in the beginning, it was, you know, fun, and then I was just seeing these kids, like, a couple weeks in,
zombies.
And they just, zombies. Yeah. And all the extras started, like, actually smoking and drinking and, like,
extras.
Tagging buildings. Like in the Warner Brothers, like lot and shit. So I would go to the bar, and then I would just go to set after the bar because the bars were closed. And I'm like, well, Project X is still going, so I would just go there and, like, you know, fucking chill.
Sounds like a fun shoot, at least.
Yeah, except for then, like, every year after the, like 6 years, I still hear everyone's like, "Yo, Mitel, what's cracking, bro?" Or "Mitel, party on whatever street, come." Yeah. Something.
It could be worse. It could be worse. It could be. Hey, man, I loved you in that gay porn you did.
Yeah,
you know,
I'd be like, well, I did it for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Exactly. Yeah. I was so
thanks
I was
for all
Harvey Weinstein giving
for
him
me
a
to
massage.
Masturbate on-
Just giving him a massage.
Yeah. Your Project XXX. I remember you.
Yeah.
Fucking little watcher,
Triple X,
little creeper.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
It's more voyeurism.
Little Simon Rex.
You're worth it.
Oh, remember, boy. Do you know that Simon Rex story?
I know the Simon Rex story, yeah.
I was thinking of Simon Birch.
Yeah.
You remember that fucking movie? Kid just needs to get his baseball card.
He's smaller. I don't know what he is.
I don't know the name of it.
I'm not
so
saying
I don't
what
want
he
to
is.
Say something.
I'm a big fan of Simon Birch and Rex.
Simon Rex,
my agent was a huge fan of his back in the day, so I didn't know about the gay porn. So I hunted this down.
Simon Rex, the fucking rapper?
Yeah, the white rapper?
Yeah, he's a rapper.
He was in
now?
Project X.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, he was, dude.
He goes by
Simon
Dirty
Birch
Nasty
was
now.
Unavailable.
Wait, that's Dirty Nasty?
It is.
I love his videos.
Yeah. You do.
What do you mean he did gay porn?
Pussy Too Hot is like my favorite music video. Have you seen Pussy Too Hot?
Yeah.
No. That's the greatest music video ever.
I'm doing cocaine. He did that one as well. Yeah. Dude, he's carved out a
nice. The name of his song was I'm Doing Cocaine?
Yeah, yeah. I'm doing cocaine like it was 1980. It was a massive viral hit. And then he started going on tour selling out everywhere.
Wow.
Yeah. So all he does is like rap albums.
I used to go on like pilot auditions together.
Simon Max, I never knew
Simon got
a
callback, and then the fucking video came out, and everyone's like, Simon's in porn.
What video?
Yes.
He had a jerk video.
So
that's not gay porn.
Yeah, that
solo,
is
a,
total
solo
not gay porn.
He's watching it.
He's watching on a TV, jacking off to gay dudes.
Yeah.
And it became a thing around town. It was like, who has this video? So my agent was a diehard Simon Rex fan, and I go, what do I get if I find this fucking video for you? And she was like, look, any pilot, you know, you want to go in on any fucking thing? I was like, great. So I want to go in on X. I just read for this one thing. And I was like, I want to go in on X.
Project
like,
X.
Find it. No, no, it wasn't Project X. I was too old for that at that time. But I found the Simon Rex video. I found it in Van Nuys, and it was on a VCR tape. I wrapped it.
Van
Nuys. I presented it to her. And
for
she
those
was
that
like,
don't know what Van Nuys looks like, this guy went deep. This
guy went real deep into the valley. So I got it, and I had to get her a VCR as well because obviously those didn't exist. So we sat there and watched the thing. She was like, great. Any project
together,
you want, I'll
together
get.
Together he watched
so
it.
So he recorded himself?
No, somebody paid him.
Thing.
Yeah, it was a full porn
like
shoot.
Was his face in it?
Yeah.
Because there was a video that just
got a hammer
on Twitter. Me and my girl were like in a fucking hotel and wherever Denver or something, and she's on Twitter and it pops up. It's like Miles Teller masturbation video leaks online, and she's like on the treadmill. She stops. She gets off and she's watching it. And
this is like 10 days ago.
It's not my face, but she can't tell if it's me. I'm like, well, you know, you should kind of. She's like, well, you know, you guys do it the same way. I'm like, every guy does it the same way. But I was like, but you should see like I don't know. It's like you should. Those aren't my thumbs.
It's not a thumb.
Like I've very. You need thumbs. I got fat
he's got,
fucking
he's got toe thumbs.
Tree frog, you know, little toe thumbs.
Yeah, yeah, you got
so,
you got
but she was like
thumbs.
She was very upset by that. I'm like, it's not me. And the dude's like just coming on carpet. I'm like, what a fucking weirdo.
Ew. Yeah, why on carpet?
I at least you
that's like, right. Clean yourself up.
Oh.
Like a long car ride, I guess.
It's like a hotel lobby.
You have a hot dog after?
Yeah.
This video sounds hot.
I haven't watched it. Did I miss something?
Yeah.
So if you want a nice double feature, Simon Rex and then fake Miles Teller masturbation.
That's pretty cool, though. At least you're getting
followed up with a hairless bear.
Fake sex videos of you.
He was like getting TV shows.
It's like, oh, I've made it.
Reba.
That's it.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm getting fake hat.
That's right.
Disney had seen it.
Yeah, they pulled him.
Hey,
I think he got the part.
And guess who got Reba after that?
Yeah, our buddy Steve Howe.
Steve Howe.
Steve Howe was on that. Where did you
Reba?
Get started?
Yeah.
Oh man,
I don't know where
the
Reba
best.
Is.
Why did you go dark on that? Where did you get started?
I got started. I was doing some acting. I came down. I was going to USC. I went to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo to wrestle, and just kind of had enough. And then I transferred to USC to the theater department and decided that was nonsense too. And I snuck into the cinema department. I had shitty grades from high school. I fucked off. And
USC's hard to get into with shitty grades.
My dad went to USC.
There it is.
And I had okay. Like I had, you know, I went to a prep school in high school and I had like a 3.0, but it was an 11-point scale. So, so it sounds.
What is
good.
That? What kind of high school are you going to?
I went to Phillips Exeter. I went to like this fancy, like fucking, you know, it's like the hardest school in the country, and it was fucking hard. And
what made it so hard?
Yeah. This is 5 hours of homework a night.
I'm not
the
legit.
The classes.
I'm not,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not
yeah.
down with school.
Was it the classes or what? Like was it all dudes? Was there girls?
No. There's girls there, but it was. It's legit harder than Harvard.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's nasty. So whatever, went fucking had you know decent grades my first 2 years of college, and then got into SC, not good enough grades to get into cinema. So I snuck in, met this teacher. I snuck in. I told the guy at the door that a guy sitting at the door who would take you know roll call.
Right.
And I was like, oh, I'm not on the list because I turned my life over to Mecca and it's now against my religion to take vaccinations. So I'm petitioning the Board of Health. I'll be on the list next week. And he's like, this is pre-internet. So he's like,
stop.
It doesn't make any sense,
no,
man.
No,
my life to Mecca. What does that mean?
Yeah.
But I did a little bow, like a little fucking, you know. He's like, okay. So I go in, and this teacher who's teaching the class is like this USC legend who came up with the algorithm. He's the reason you know what your movie's going to make
Tomatoes
on Friday.
Bullshit.
Well,
boy.
No, he's
I know you're
the guy
for box office.
Yeah. Art Murphy. And so he's like this kind of, he's like this gay cowboy. From up at, you know, the like San Luis Obispo. He lived in San Luis Obispo. But you know, everyone's cowboys got the jeans worn out around their Copenhagen. This jeans were
that
worn
ring.
Out around his cock.
This
teacher had a cock down to his knee, and he'd walk around in front of everybody, and so no one would sit in the first two rows because you didn't
want
to.
This guy's still teaching there?
Too close. No, he's dead. But not.
It was his cock.
It was the cock.
All right, man, we're going to give you a fucking 11-inch cock, but you're only going to live to 35.
At least the legend lives on.
No, old as fuck then, and he'd get mad and he'd throw chairs. And so he had a reputation for hurting people with chairs, but they kept him around because he was like this legend. So I was getting something for nothing, and finally the guy at the door was like, dude, I don't know who Mecca is or who you're bowing to or whatever. If Art finds out you're in his fucking class and you're not enrolled, he'll kill you. He'll fucking kill you. And so I couldn't take the test. So finally Art found out I wasn't in his class. And he's like, Jason, where's your test? I want to grade yours first. Because I'm asking questions. I was trying to produce a movie. I found some junky kid at USC who'd written this great script and like trying to get financing. And I was like, you know, I was like doing the shit.
Moving and shaking.
And he's like, where's your test? I was like, I didn't take it. He's like, motherfucker. Throws this desk chair across the room into the corner, and like I'm like, oh fuck, this guy is gonna kill me. And he starts laughing. He's like, the one fucking guy I thought was getting something out of this isn't even enrolled. Fuck yeah. Wah. And he gives me his phone number. He's like, you go to whatever class you want at this fucking school, and they have a problem with it, tell him Art Murphy told you to be there. And if they still have a problem, say fuck off and call Art Murphy. Here's my number.
This dude's badass.
Such a badass. And so I go to classes, and they'd be like, excuse me, can we help you? I'd be like, Art Murphy told me to be here. And they'd be like, oh, no problem. No problem.
Yeah.
So I went to USC film school for like a year and a half. Just like
Art Murphy.
Not enrolled.
Not enrolled.
Art Murphy.
So I went back. I played the film there the other night. I told the story to the new cinema dean, and I was like, what do you say? Diploma? Can I get a diploma?
Yeah, or
like,
honorary doctorate degree?
Honorary?
Yeah.
Did they say yes?
Dr. Hall?
She's like, we'll talk about it.
We'll see how well your film does.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if Art's numbers hold up for you.
Let's see what domestic is, and then obviously we'll go worldwide. And then
let's see what domestic is.
How are the kids at USC who watched the movie? Did they come up and talk to you afterwards?
Yeah.
How was their interaction with you?
Well, look, there was a lot of veterans there. There was a bunch of veterans.
Yeah, USC has a huge veteran group. One of the leaders over there is a buddy of mine.
No, they were super, super engaged and very, you know, look, we play this movie and we get the same reaction every time. And it's
they go, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
That's great, yeah.
Every veteran is like, someone finally made a movie about it.
Someone
finally told our story. And the people that aren't veterans, the civilians, are like, I had no idea.
I can't. It's like I have to wait for it to come out and be available for people because it's like I'm texting some of my friends like, bro, you're actually going to like this. Shut the fuck up. No, right. I'm not.
Right. Like, no, you will. The reason you being will. Is it's not your movie. It's because Hollywood fucks up. Hollywood fucks up all these military movies.
This one acronym, it's like asshole shit my drill sergeant said. Like they posted
Dan
a big,
Catty, yeah.
they put a big thing on there, and people were like, you getting paid for this, asshole? He's like, no, I'm not. And they're like, what the fuck? You don't know shit.
Isn't that who
he's
called
like,
you?
Yeah, that's who called me.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
sweet dude.
Well, this will be. When they hear this coming from our channels, they're going to be like, okay.
Oh, shit, it must be
good.
We'll
watch it. We'll watch it.
Because I made the mistake with these guys when I first got in with them, and because they asked me to write and direct their movie, military movie, and they were like, we don't want you to fuck this up. And I was like, I don't know, how can we fuck it up? And they were like, what military movies do you like? And I'm like, fucking loved Hurt Locker. And he was like, oh, that fucking movie sucked. And I was like, oh, yeah.
That's the worst one ever.
Adam hates Hurt Locker.
That is the worst one
ever. He said it just doesn't make any sense.
Hurt Locker is steaming shit.
And it won Best Picture. It won Best Picture.
How? Right, but that tells you what, that's exactly what I'm saying about the fucking awards. I'd rather get it right for these guys, for you guys, for this
community, all the awards.
Exactly,
and have all the awards. Yeah. I'd rather get it right for the people we made it about.
There is not a single
that's the greatest compliment.
Person
There's no
in
greater
uniform.
Compliment than having Taya Kyle give me a hug and be like, I just, because of your movie, I just got to spend 2 hours with my fucking husband.
Right. Right.
And you're like, boom, done. I'm done. After that, I was done. I didn't care what happened.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. And again, what are you hoping to do after this? Like, what would be your dream project?
I got this, I'm doing this, I'm rewriting a project called The Virginian about early George Washington and the French Indian War.
God, that would be cool.
Oh, fuck. Is that you?
Yeah.
That's, it's a big budget on that.
I got to rewrite it, so I got to write the movie. And
a
then
buddy of mine had the rights to George Washington over at Red Granite.
Oh, right. They are not.
I know some of them Red Granite dudes.
They had some problems.
Yeah.
they had some issues.
You want to buy some art?
Yeah. It's they had the George Washington movie for a while. Yeah. And
this one's different. This one is early George Washington, 7 years' war.
Is it as aggressive, like graphic, because they used
very
to fuck
aggressive,
shit up.
Very aggressive, very, very violent. You know, you want to
be a
It's
going to take me a long time to prep for, but I'm excited for the opportunity.
Is Lafayette
Daniel
a character?
Lewis has been prepping for,
Lafayette
for 30 years already.
Is, who's Lafayette?
General Lafayette, the one that helped him during the revolution?
No, because this is French Indian.
Yeah, okay.
So this is 9 years even She's before cool. the revolution. So okay. this is a 7 years war. So it's while he's fighting on behalf of the British, he's fighting the French.
Okay.
And they're just fucking shit up.
Yeah. They're fucking shit up. It was violent. It was nasty. You know, guys would leave the battlefield. He'd sentence them to lashings. It, like 245 lashings for walking off the battlefield. You die at 140. And then he built gallows at the edge of town. He built like 40-foot gallows to hang guys that would walk off the battlefield or wouldn't come fight.
Wow.
So he just started hanging motherfuckers.
Should be the same way now.
And it's,
you know?
Pretty much.
Now you can go to prison and just change genders and get out of the military.
Yeah, you're
you know?
Fine. You're at that go. Point, yeah.
Mm, yeah.
Fucking
nailed it.
Dipshits.
So you're doing the rewrite on that? Are you directing it as well?
I am.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
That is awesome.
That's a big movie. Fuck.
We'll see. I gotta do the work.
Yeah. But a movie of that size, holy shit, that's gotta be intimidating.
No, it'd be good, man. I'm excited about it. Like, I haven't seen a movie like Last of the Mohican style. That's the time period.
Oh God, yes.
Very violent.
Your
very
music supervisor is gonna be key on this.
Yeah.
Who plays George Washington in that? Because I had this debate with my buddy.
Oh, dude, I know exactly who'd do it.
Who?
Yeah, you know, French.
Just get a French actor, an obscure French actor.
French Stewart.
French Stewart is George Washington. Who plays a badass George Washington? Because I had this.
He needs
this conversation
to be ripped.
With my buddy.
Well, he was also young during the French Indian War. He was 22 years old.
Yeah,
he started the French Indian War from his gun.
Right.
You know, they basically were like, hey, can you go tell the French to leave? He delivers a letter. French are like, yeah, fuck you. We're not leaving. Comes back, tells Dinwiddie. He's like, they're not leaving. He's like, all right, take some soldiers. Don't get killed. And, you know, and he basically sent him out to start a war. He sees some weird shit. He starts a war from his gun.
Right.
Fucking shoots some guys, takes over like 20 guys. And they're like, oh, and he's trying to take their surrender. And his guide leaps over his shoulder with a hatchet and brains the French guy, pulls his brain out of his head and holds it over his head and says, my father, I'm not dead yet. And George Washington's like, oh shit, I really did start a war.
Yeah. GW went, he got down with shit. He got really fucking down. But just don't get a pussy. Just get, you know, get somebody who's at least a badass.
Miles kind of looks like George himself. I mean, if you look at him in the right.
I keep sending Jay photos anytime I see like George Washington. We're just like, you know, you see the resemblance here, man.
$1 bills. Yourself with $1 bills and over again. And you've got
Only the Brave.
Only the Brave.
Yeah. Coming out this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your service the next weekend, which... Mm-hmm. That sucks when two of them come out back to back, right?
Yeah, I mean, promoting it sucks, but also it's just like, you know,
then
I feel like
they wedge you into interviews about both.
Yeah, and that's kind of whatever, you get over that, but it's more just I feel like each film should have its moment, you know, and they shouldn't be piggybacking each other, let alone like arguably competing against each other. You know, that's not ideal. So,
and what do you got coming up after that?
So I did these two movies back to back. I did Thank You for Your Service last year, and then I had 5 weeks off until I was like on camera for Only the Brave, and I was just kind of burnt out, you know. And I think in like 6.5 years, I did like something like 15 films or something like that.
No, I couldn't do it.
So I was just like burnt out.
Range 15 had me like tapped, and that was 13 days.
Yeah, but you were having to do all the post and shit. If I had to do post on there, I'd be burnt out too. But then, so now I'm doing this thing with Nick Reffin. We're doing it for Amazon. Where I guess it's kind of like a series.
You guys seen Punisher?
Yeah.
No, The Pusher.
Pusher. Pusher series.
No. The Pusher series.
He directed
Drive and Bronson and Neon Demon.
But it's the Pusher series. It's just badass.
Yeah, he's a badass dude, man. He certainly has a
very distinct style.
What's
his sitch in real life? Is he cool?
Nick's a cool guy. Yeah.
Everybody loves to work for him, and everybody will come out of the woodwork to work for that guy. Yeah. So he must be fucking amazing.
So we're doing, for me, it'll be 7 months and basically doing like 4 movies worth of material in 7 months. And he also shoots chronologically, which is cool. He's the only director I know that fucking does that.
Because
it's all about, you know, what sets and money and budget and all, you know, and all that shit. And
yeah, you can never shoot in sequence like that. A movie in sequence. And that's, when is that going to air on Amazon?
I'm not sure. But if you guys go online, the log line that's kind of that he's put out there for it, it's called Too Old to Die Young, and
it's very vague.
Yeah, what?
The log line for it.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty vague.
All of his movies are everything he does is like that.
But he uses the same editor and the same music guy for all his shit. And I think he's got a really good. I think he's got a knack for.
The music is
the
great.
The score
all
and the songs that he puts in his shit. So yes, that's what I'll be doing next.
What would be your dream project? Is there one that you're like, man, I've got to play this guy doing this?
Kinda. I mean, and it's just kind of come into view for me in the past like year or so. But Elvis is something I really want to do.
Wow.
Because I mean, I've gotten compared to him, you know, like looks wise, whatever. But I don't know.
Hips.
The more I read about him, I got Swivels. The hips. The more I read about him, just, and I want to make I want to do the darker version of him. I want to do like the Walk the Line version. And there's a period of Elvis's career that was, you know, really dark. Like, Dylan and, you know, Hendrix and the Beatles and everything was coming in, and Elvis was kind of forgotten about. He was just doing soundtracks for movies. He hadn't performed a concert on TV in like 10 years. And he was, using drugs and dealing, you know, obviously like death of his mother and all that shit.
44, something like that.
What?
How old was he at that point?
No, he's like 31.
Come on.
Yeah. Damn. So if you look at the comebacks. If you look at the comeback special, so there's a writer director buddy of mine who he saw me walking around with a guitar a couple of years back, and he was like, oh man, can you play and sing? So I sent him a video of me playing and singing Heartbreak Hotel, and we've been working on the script, and yeah, it's something I hope to get going. I also want to make a good baseball movie. I'm such a like a Bull Durham or something, because baseball, you can actually,
there
like,
hasn't been one
at
in a
any
while.
Given time, the team's in the time. Dugout, you know, so you can actually talk. You can't talk during a basketball game or a football game. Baseball movies are just classic if you get them right.
Comedy or drama? Do you want to go national or major league?
No, like Bull Durham, man. You got to have a little both, although major league is great.
Both are equally. I'm a huge fan of baseball movies. They don't seem to make them anymore unless it's like serious biopic.
They did 42, 61, and then, you know, Moneyball. But that's not a baseball movie. But you know, I don't know. I'm in an interesting position, right? Because I'm not writing the projects for me. I'm not writing the scripts. So you just gotta. And then, you know, it takes a director to take a chance on you. Like, when I got cast in Bleed for this dude, I was, like, 20% fucking body fat. I was just, like, I said I was in, like, funny friend shape because I was playing a lot of, like, the funny friends in movies. And he offered me that, you know? And that's what it takes, you know, even, you know, someone like Jay to give me an opportunity in this. Like, I feel like, you know, these scripts are speaking to me, but, again, I'm not creating that content for myself. So,
sure.
It just, once it shows up on my desk, then I feel like, oh yeah, that's what I want. You know, that's the thing I want to do next. And
right.
I couldn't have told you about it, but now here it is.
Because a lot of people are going after what they want now. Very similar to what you said about the Elvis project. I mean, like, all right, how the fuck do I start shifting into what I really want to do?
Yeah,
you know,
in
what
your 30s, you get that opportunity.
I want to play Mark Hoppus.
Yeah, he wants to play. He's a diehard Blink 182 fan.
Mark Hoppus.
Yeah. I've got one more movie on my bucket list.
We talked about this, and then like a week later, a guy sent a video of Mark going, "Wait, who wants to play me? Hell no!" I was like,
"That's nice. It made it to him, though."
Yeah, it did.
You know what I mean? It shows you're getting it out there, man. You're riding the current.
I have one. There's only one movie left on the bucket list, and that's to play Ric Flair in a biopic.
Fuck yeah! He sent me a voicemail for my 30th birthday because we have a mutual friend, and fuck me and all my buddies. I plugged it in, played it throughout the speakers. We were down in Cabo, and we were just jacked up. Just we had a happy woo year this last year in New Year's. We got a house in Park City, and everyone ordered these cheap ass robes and wigs from like fucking Amazon, and we had a happy woo year.
So my anniversary was yesterday. My wife got me a signed Nature Boy Ric Flair robe.
Fuck yeah.
16 time woo. I mean, the whole fucking thing on it.
Solid.
Greatest gift I've ever received in my entire life.
I'm just always curious, like, what's a movie, I guess, that you would like to see me do, you know? Like,
boy,
what do you think?
Who is the gay guy who just got
caught? I'd like to see you play Simon Rex in a biopic.
Fuck yeah.
No, just I got that with War Dogs. Like, that was fucking cool. Like, and I enjoyed Fantastic Four.
You just want to be a part of a good. You just want to be a part of a good movie.
Me personally,
you know, that's honestly what it is. Like, because I don't care. I used to focus on like my character. Like, oh, I get to have these jokes and shit. But if the movie doesn't fucking work, it doesn't matter, man. No one remembers like a good performance in a shitty movie.
Actually,
no.
You know what you should shoot for? You could actually probably make a great Clint Romachet if he gets that movie. Which there.
If you ever want to do
Red
Platoon,
what gay porn star is this?
Red Platoon.
How big is this cock?
Clint Romachet is a Medal of Honor recipient. Good buddy of ours. Cool. He wrote a book called Red Platoon.
Isn't Ben Affleck?
No,
Ben Affleck directed a movie called Red Platoon.
No, he was going to, and I think he failed to show up for a few meetings.
Yeah,
I'd like to see.
It's still up in the air right now.
I'd like to see some comedies. Comedies are fucking dead now.
Yeah,
I'd like to see you and Vince Vaughn in a comedy, where you guys are brothers.
We'll see. I think Vince Vaughn's going back to
drama.
Yeah, go
is
back
he?
To drama.
I just saw,
God,
that's where
why?
I just saw his Cell trailer for Cell Block. Yeah,
99 or something.
And it looks cool.
Yeah,
but, you know.
That was my guy,
comedies.
Vince Vaughn. That was like, yeah, that was my dude.
Oh yeah, big fan.
Yeah,
big
but it's fan. Tough. Like, it's what's the last like really good comedy?
They're not making them. They don't do well for him.
That you saw, like the female ones are doing well, like Bad Moms, and that seems like.
But comedies don't do well in China or foreign, so they've nuked them. And then you know they're all Netflix. Sandler just did that. What, he's got an 8-picture deal now with fucking
something like
Netflix.
That.
You're deep in the business, bro. You're like
I've
in
been
the
in it for a long time. Been in it for.
Stone Street alum, man. That's how they groom us.
We're
freaking pit bulls in the business.
I follow it because I'm interested, and I also don't like where the business is going.
Yeah,
and I think there's a way to change it. Like, if movies like Thank You for Your Service would do well, like I just want it to do well in theater.
Yeah, for sure.
We saw the screen of it. It was fucking great, and it was like, man. My next initial thought, as soon as literally the second it turned off, was, I hope this fucking thing opens up at more than 20, so you can keep telling stories like this. Otherwise, you're gonna
it'll nuke things like Red Platoon.
Yes,
yeah. Like,
and they're gonna the superhero movies are fine.
Lone Survivor did really well, and American Sniper obviously did really well. And
Have
you got to meet the Luttrells yet?
I met Marcus, not really, but he did his talk. Pete Berg does these talks down at his gym, so I got to hear him, describe.
They're fun.
He was in our last.
And his twin brother Morgan, a riot.
Yeah.
Meet Morgan.
Yeah.
Melanie's such a sweetheart. She's the best.
That family. Can't say enough good things about him.
Yeah, so more comedies, and then more movies like this where it's an actual story rather than another fucking superhero. Where it's like, I mean, look,
every Thor
superhero trailer you see, it's just another goddamn leather suit on somebody who could be anybody underneath that fucking thing.
No, it's brutal, but the audience determines what the movies that we're gonna make are.
Yes,
they determine,
and it's African Americans and Hispanics.
This movie only got made because of Spielberg. That's it.
Right.
Spielberg wanted to make this movie. There is no other studio in town that would have made this movie for the budget that it was at and probably at all.
And the same with American Sniper, right? If Bradley Cooper doesn't do that movie, does it get made?
I went to three places, pitched that without Bradley. Everyone said, no, we're not going to do this, and it's never going to get made. Actually, one studio exec fell asleep in the pitch. It was awesome. I was pitching it. I looked over. Oh, yeah. He was asleep. And I was like, oh, man. I just wanted to give the table a pow.
Yeah. Slap the table.
Slap the table.
But then after it comes out and makes, what, 350, everybody kisses your ass, right?
Yeah, no. Global's like 700.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
That was nice.
And it was, you know, because it's a personal story. And like we told the guy's story. We told his story from his point of view of what it was like to be a warrior and why he did it and the values that he grew up with that he was felt he was protecting and what it cost him.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, fuck, man. Guys, it's been a pleasure. And we appreciate you taking time out of your day. Also want to say Miles had us at his fucking house. Which is unbelievable.
We're in my cabana right now.
Yeah, and if
chilling,
if you honestly,
cervezas flown.
If you've seen Jared
so
Taylor.
Many cervezas, dude.
Oh, cervezas everywhere.
Cervezas everywhere.
I'm just sucking them down.
See you, just mound of cervezas.
Jared never gets invited inside of people's houses.
So it's so weird they put you outside.
Nice thing for him.
What'd you guys do here when you got here? Was he like,
I saw the shoes and boots you guys were wearing. I was like, these are outside people. It's a
I can't wait. I want to rip on the guitar with him now.
Yeah.
Like playing the guitar when we showed
and
up.
I got all kinds of stuff.
So do I.
Yeah. Jared's actually an unbelievable musician. You would never guess it. Because you've never seen like a fat guitarist before.
I know.
And like you're the guy who breaks that mold.
I'm trying.
Yeah.
I'm trying. Thank you.
So if you do Elvis, let him play the older one. He's been gaining weight for it for 15 years.
Perfect.
Well, listen, gentlemen, we appreciate it. And dude, we hope this movie crushes. For anybody at home, go see Thank You For Your Service. Go see it in theaters. Go see it opening weekend. The fucking opening weekend box office matters.
Yeah, and this movie needs to get seen.